you may have seen, is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
We are back with You May Have Seen, Reaching Out and Revisiting Part 2. We're still in this. It's still going on. No one knows. This is what, week 6? I'm not even sure. But I know that we're all doing our best. And I'm still worried about everybody out there. So I want to keep talking to people. Today we're going to hear from Keith Harris, whom you may have seen in The Walking Dead and A Walk in the Woods. I never noticed that. Apparently there's a lot of walking in Keith's work. I also hear from my good friend Haley Lovett, who may have actually had the virus. So I'm definitely looking forward to checking in on her. You may have seen Haley in The Gifted and also in A Walk in the Woods. What a coincidence. And then we'll finish up with my very funny friend Jason Alan King, comedian, actor, writer, director, hysterical. Can't wait to hear from him. Okay, here we go. Let's see what Keith Harris is up to.
That's what people are doing now, man. Trying to, I guess, improve themselves, educate themselves, learn things. What a waste of time. What's the tutorial on? What are you trying to learn how to do?
Oh, a couple different things. So this series I've been writing, at the end, there's several buildings or a big kind of a warehouse space that catches on fire and, you know, things like that. So obviously,
you're learning how to burn a building down.
So I'm just looking over, just learning some basics on some stuff. They've got some actually really good overlays where you can grab and kind of drag and drop and do stuff in After Effects. And After Effects is such a deep program. It's just stupid, man. So I'm kind of going, oh, if I just had the money to pay someone.
Right? Good gosh. And then the world exploded.
I know, right?
First of all, how incredible is it that we actually have technology that allows us to watch how-to videos on how to burn down a building?
I know, right?
And blow shit up. And then second, everything just gets thrown, giant monkey wrench just thrown into everything.
Everything, dude.
How the hell are you?
I'm good, man. It's good to see your face, bro.
It's good to see you, too. It's been, Jesus, like. Well, first of all, hey, everybody who's listening, we're revisiting our good friend Keith Harris again, coming back to say hello and check
in
during this crazy, crazy, crazy time. And just seeing how everybody's dealing with all this stuff. So,
yeah, so,
sup?
Man. So, well, the good thing is I had a couple of decent jobs just before everything went to crap. So I've just got one of those checks and I've got one more anticipated.
Right.
And I picked up so flashback before Shifting Gears, the first incarnation of Shifting Gears before that blew up. I was working out of the office of a friend of mine who is in the medical field. And long story short, I just picked them up as kind of a recurring monthly client that I'm doing some marketing and helping them design, redesign a website from like 2002
Yeah.
So it's, you know, things like that that are kind of ongoing things that, you know, aren't necessarily related to production or acting, you know, just stuff that I'm doing with, you know, my production company. So as a piece of it, I've kind of, some of the stuff that I do in Greensboro, I kind of have a niche in the medical field with some radiologists or some things like that, where it's kind of talking head and B-roll of,
you know, some video production stuff with them.
Yeah, a little video production stuff with that. And you know, it's kind of sprung out of that piece that has done a little bit. And we're trying to navigate through exactly what will be beneficial from this whole stimulus thing and whether or not we'd have to pay any of that money back and what's beneficial with, you know, there's some things for small businesses and we're still trying to weigh through what exactly will be beneficial to us or not. I did hear, and we have something yet to dig into on this, but I did hear that they're in part of that package. There's some student loan forgiveness involved in some way, shape, or form.
I've heard about that as well. We're gonna look forgiving the interest.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We're gonna look into some of that too. I don't know what that'll entail.
You still got that you're dealing with?
Oh my gosh, dude, stupid. Yeah. So,
I hear it's stupid.
All right. So, but one of the things that I would say to artists listening right now that are, you know, moving forward from this place that have student loan debt, like I came out going, oh, hey, you know, they'll defer it. Great. You know, right. I'm an artist. I'm struggling. I'm trying to pay my rent. I'm trying to do it. I'm just defer. Right.
Eventually they're going to want to get paid.
I know. Right. So don't defer. All right. Go ahead. Suck it up. Pay your $100 a month and freaking be done. Cause I would totally be done if I had buckled down and done that in my late 20s. Figure that out.
So what we're getting from this is education really worth it? Is it really worth it? Spend your money somewhere else. Didn't you have another place that you were trying to Airbnb?
We do. Yeah, we still have it. So we put it up really not knowing what was going to happen. And it's been a month to 3 month rental back to back to back to back. So people coming in like travel nurses and I mean, it's just been bam, 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 bam.
No, is there somebody there now with everything that's going on, or is it just kind of
We have somebody there now. Thank the good Lord, occupied. So
no joke, right? Because I've heard every other person that I've talked to, it's the exact opposite. So wow, good for you, man. That's a
score. Yeah. So there's a series I've been writing. I've been plugging away on it. There's a student of mine who at 12, she was 12 years old. She wrote and produced a feature. Yeah, whoa. I know, right? It was horrible, but she wrote and produced a feature, right?
Still.
It was kind of a Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe kind of a thing. She disappears through a hole in her granddad's attic.
Wow.
So flash forward, she had this concept for a series. And, you know, she's 14 at the time, I think. And she wrote and produced this pilot. And she put together a trailer and sent me the trailer. And I was super impressed with the trailer. The trailer had an interesting kind of tone and vibe to it. And then I said, all right, send me the pilot when you got it cut. And, you know, let me take a look at it. And the thing is, they are super strong on social media, right? So she's got a YouTube channel with like 35,000 followers now. And there's another girl that's in it that's an Instagram account pushing 20,000 people. All right. So,
oh my God.
Right. And they're from this small town in Virginia. They were pushing the series, right, on social media. They had a website set up. They were selling hoodies and hats and like all this kind of stuff. But then they didn't have anything to follow up the hype with, right? They had nothing to push on the hype. So basically, over the last year, we went back to zero and met on Saturdays. There's four of us that would get together for probably 3 to 4 hours and just kind of have a writer's room and just really beat out each episode. It was the first time I'd ever written anything series based, so there was a learning curve for me too, but it was neat to really just really kind of hone in the writer's room and beat it out.
So you're collaborating with children, right?
Yeah. Well, she's 16 and I she's 16 and I had an intern that went to Living Arts College. I don't know. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see where it goes, because I think I really do think we have something solid now, and it's neat to have a set of episodes that are you know completed and you know feel like they have an engaging story involved in it. But this has the
and I just want to clarify when I said you're collaborating with children. I said that is all the admiration and respect. That's like that's incredible.
Yeah. And it's also. Too, it's funny, you know, from an acting standpoint, one of the things I always battle in, you know, some of my classes is telling people, all right, you know, as you grow, you always start hearing, don't play. I'm not playing with you. Stop playing. Stop playing. Right. And we have to give ourselves permission to play. Right. And so,
yes.
Exactly. Play more. Play. And that's one of the cool things about, you know, having somebody that young is they haven't really absorbed that as much.
So, thank God. Yeah. We were supposed to be attending the which film festival was it?
River Run.
What was it? River Run. We were supposed to be attending the River Run Film Festival last weekend in Winston-Salem for the world premiere screening of Bygone Billy after 2 years.
Yeah.
And of course the festival got canceled because of the coronavirus and everything that's going on. I'll tell you, I've been trying to avoid saying coronavirus because to me I'm so annoyed by it that it doesn't even deserve its own name recognition. It's kind of like Voldemort. And I started referring to it as the new C word.
right.
Yeah. But
that's true.
But we were supposed to see it for the first time. Have you seen any footage from this movie? Have you been in touch with Shay to
I have seen like a 45-second trailer. There's not. It's like a test, you know, some test footage, and he was kind of playing with one, and he sent me an early link to, you know, an idea that he had kind of playing with a trailer. There's nothing official or anything like that. So, I mean, it looks gorgeous.
Really? That's great.
Daniel Ralph, who shot it, was, he was on point.
Now what happens with the life of the film?
Exactly.
I don't know if you had any other info, if he had gotten it into any other festivals or...
I know he had sent out to several, but, you know, the fate of those kind of hangs in the balance too.
Right.
You know, so the thing that I was actually, I didn't know until this year, and I don't know how long it has had the status, but River Run is actually an Academy Screener Festival.
Really?
So if there's a, you know, if I don't know if what status it, if it's got to be a world premiere or if it's got to be, you know, something like that.
Right.
As far as long as being in competition, if it wins some sort of award or something, I guess it's would be eligible technically for, you know, Academy
consideration.
It's just going to depend on how this whole bunch of craziness plays out.
A whole new set of rules and regulations. And so it's a really, really, really strange and weird time.
What have you been doing?
I have been, existing. I'm not really sure how else to say it. We're just taking it day by day. I'm trying to take as many positives from every day as I can. Again, no matter how big or how small. Because I feel that you have to. Because I've certainly had other periods over the past few weeks where, man, your brain goes down the rabbit hole. It's real easy to do as you sit there in your office by yourself for hours on end. I'm sure you may have experienced it too. You can certainly get caught up and swallowed by it. I'll admit it. I've had some mini panic attacks over the past few weeks.
Yeah,
it certainly has hit me. I think I had one while I was working out. I was like, I don't know if this is good. This isn't good.
Right,
but,
right.
But, you know, on the flip side, I've been meditating more. My birthday's coming up in a couple weeks, and I will be joining you in that special club. Dude, I got my AARP card application in the mail the other day, and I was like, I don't like this. I do not like this.
I know, right? Yep.
Yeah, and it says on the envelope, "Welcome to the 50s Club." And I was like, screw you.
Shut up.
Yeah.
50 is the new 30.
There you go. So just with life in general, we didn't really have anything major planned or anything like that. We were talking like maybe we'll plan a trip later in the year or next year or something. We'll celebrate it in a large way at a later date. Well, little did I know, Colleen had been planning this surprise party for me the whole time. I mean, like, I don't want to say it's not like her, but I mean, you know, because she's a very thoughtful and considerate person, but to do something on this scale, and of course, she had to be canceled, and she had to tell me about it, And when she told me what was going on and all the people who were involved and people who were flying in, sort of thing.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just started sobbing out of just, wow, out of like love and appreciation. I mean, the fact that she had been planning this for months, I truly had no idea. And all these people were in on it, and wow, all these people were coming, and all these people wanted to be a part of it. And I was just blown away. And it was one of those things where it's like, you know, at the same time, while I took all that in and loved it, I went, you are an asshole. you need to be a better person. You need to be a better human. You need to, I don't know, go build a house for the homeless or something like that with your own two hands. Yeah, it was just like this really overwhelming flood of, man, am I fortunate. Man, am I fortunate.
Yeah.
You know? But it sucks that it comes under these circumstances, is my point. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, this is something that I can, at least for me personally, I can try and take from this and use it in a constructive way. Not take those things for granted as much, you know. I mean, I don't know about you, but I haven't thanked so many grocery store workers in my life.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I know, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. We've made it a habit to kind of, with our kids, to like if we're, you know, out to eat somewhere and they see a fireman or a policeman or something like that, to just go, you know, hey, thank you for your work, you know, thank you for your service, kind of military people, that kind of thing. But, you know, you're adding, you got more layers to add.
Yeah. So, absolutely. You know, I think it's a very strong and necessary reminder of truly that when we've been saying for the last few weeks, we're all in this together. To me now, that means more than just this current situation. It's this life, this community, mm-hmm, this world. We're all in this together. Mm-hmm. So
that's true. No,
that may have been more than what you were asking for, and I want
to. No. It's great.
I want to thank you for flipping the interview around on me.
You look good.
Well, thanks.
Be as old as you are.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know what? I'm not even afraid. You got anything coming out or running or anything that is a newer-ish release that you're aware of?
Yeah, there's a film. It was originally called Elbow Grease that I did with. It was actually one of Burt Reynolds' last three.
Right.
Yeah. They changed the name to An Innocent Kiss.
Okay.
And it is out on Amazon Prime now. So if you have a Prime account, you can pull it up and watch it for free.
Yeah. Well, man, thanks so much for revisiting again and coming to say hi and checking in. And I'm glad you're doing well, and the family's doing well, and that you're keeping busy. I look forward to hearing more about your TV series project and see what happens with that for you guys. So this has been more of You May Have Seen, the Corona episodes with Keith Harris. Thanks so much for listening.
I'm glad Keith is doing well. He seems to be doing well. I do want to say I'm glad so far that everyone I've been checking in on has been doing pretty well. That wasn't necessarily the case with Haley Lovett. So let's reach out to her.
I'm doing the thing everyone's doing. But I just got off the phone with my French class. Yeah. I was supposed to start it in mid-April. Mm-hmm. It's like an in-person class. And I didn't know any French, so I started doing Duolingo, and I started speaking French to the teacher via email, and he was like, you don't need to be in the intro class, so
He
bumped me up to the next class, and I start this Saturday on, like, a different class.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
What's making you want to learn French, just because?
My friend Elizabeth speaks French, and she kind of like inspired me to learn. So I was like, what? And then my friend Kelsey speaks French too. And I was like, you guys all speak French? What the fuck? Well, I've never, like, I'm not really great with languages. I did Spanish in high school and I just like cheated the whole time.
Good girl. Good for you. That's amazing. That's so great. Now you got me going like, hey, I've got free time on my hands now. Maybe I can get back into that again.
like if you get your friends to join, you get a week of free. You have to watch the ads if you don't pay
sure.
for it.
Right.
But if you get your friends to join, every friend that joins, you get a week of free, no ads.
Oh. the little things that we get excited about. Oh, no ads for a week. Yeah.
No ads.
So I was looking at our last Skype session data, and it's been just over a year.
That was the last job I had, too.
Really? Yeah.
Acting-wise, yeah.
What's been going on since then with you? I mean, if Amsterdam was your last job, is there any particular reason why? Is that more along the lines of stuff that you and I talked about, or that's just the way that it's gone?
I've still been auditioning and just not getting anything. And I've also been applying for real jobs since August, since I finished my last full-time crew gig.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, actually. Like, first of all, I don't know if you know, I got... coronavirus.
You did?
Yeah.
It is official.
I mean, I didn't get tested, but I had all the symptoms, including like I still don't have my taste and my sense of taste and sense of smell back.
What?
I didn't know
that that was part of it.
Yeah. And the chest pain and like the trouble breathing and the fever and the body aches. And then when I lost these senses, I think everybody who was doubting me before and just being like, what, you don't have it. And I'm like, why? It's not a big deal. Like, I mean, it's a big deal, but what I'm saying is it's not unusual. Like a lot of people have it and are going to have it. Like, why do you think this is an unusual occurrence? It's not. But besides that, and I've recovered now, I don't have my smell or taste back. I can taste if something's really sweet, but that's it.
I mean, I saw some of the things that you posted where you were obviously going outside and getting sunburns and things like that. So I was like, okay, she's obviously progressed to this point.
Well, even when I was sick, I would try to just go sit outside in the sun and like get some vitamin D. Besides that, I do okay in the quarantine because I really like being alone at home most of my time anyway.
No, I understand. I mean, it hasn't been a huge adjustment for me either because I spend most of my time here during the day, during the week as well. So
I will say I've been eating the food that's in my pantry. So that,
yeah,
because usually I'm just like, I don't want that. And I'm like, well, I better eat it because it's here and this is how I have to.
Yeah.
I can't just go out and get other food. Yeah.
You know, and you go through your expenses and you're like, okay, I need to kind of manage my finances even closer and even better because I don't know what the hell's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be like next week or next month or how long this is going to go on for and how all this is going to play out professionally.
Right. I mean, it's so scary too, though, that this is like these people who have, I mean, who would have thought as a person getting a job at a grocery store that you'd be at putting yourself in such a position to go to work that you are risking your health and your family's health just to go to work at a grocery store. That's, I honestly don't know if I'd be doing it, you know?
I don't know either. But I've also thought like, well, hell, what happens if this continues on and work just drops off and I have to fucking find a way to
I've also had that thought. I've also, because I've seen
grocery
people
stores
talking
and delivery,
about
hiring like crazy.
Yeah.
And I can tell you right now, I would do it.
I mean, if they get tough, obviously, over losing my place to live or whatever.
It certainly brings, well, I'm only going to speak for myself, but it certainly brought me down a few pegs to be like, don't ever take people and positions and occupations for granted as far as, you know, not recognizing the true value of what everybody can do.
Right, just being aware and recognizing their worth, I should say.
Obviously, everything for you, too, has shut down.
Yeah. I was my last day of work, so I wrapped a show called Respect, or a film with Jennifer Hudson and Forest Whitaker and
the Aretha Franklin.
Yeah. So I was the last man standing on that one. My last day was the 13th and I could look out the window across the street where Stranger Things was. I could look out the window and see them shutting down just like a huge group of people outside. They were like having a meeting outside. I guess they were realizing they shouldn't have it inside by that point already. And everybody, I'm talking to my friends and everybody on other shows. I'm like, what's happening? What are you guys doing? And they're like, we're shutting down. I have a friend in LA who has a friend who passed away. they did not pass away because of coronavirus, but it's been during all this, and they can't hold her memorial because they can't congregate, you know? And I also, my mom works with a guy who had to cancel his wedding.
But how do you think, just in your opinion, that the industry or the business is going to bounce back once the gates get opened and the green light is given?
Yeah.
What do you think it's going
to be? Definitely can only just be anyone's opinion. I think once one or two of the big players like Netflix or NBC, one of the big players, once they open back up across the board, everyone's going to be a rat race to get all their stuff back up, because nobody's going to want to be lagging behind.
So what the hell was it like when you were starting to experience the symptoms? And when was this? And what, I mean, is there any, were you trying to connect any dots?
Okay, my last day of work was the 13th of March. On the 14th, I went to Target to grocery shop. And on the 15th, I went out riding motorcycles with a friend, but I only had contact with him and his roommate. And those were the only two people. And I felt really guilty about going out that day. Yeah. Like, it was really hitting my conscience hard. So once I got home that night on the 15th, which was Sunday, I didn't go out again. Started quarantining. On the 18th, the following Wednesday, was the first day I had symptoms. I had a little bit of a cough. I couldn't really breathe deep. Like, if I tried to take a deep breath, I just couldn't, and it was painful. And at one point, I don't know if it was that Wednesday or the following day on Thursday, my chest started hurting so bad that I went downstairs where my roommate Kevin was sitting. And I was like, I just need to sit by you because I don't know why my chest hurts so bad, but I don't know what's happening. I don't think it's a heart attack, but I just don't want to, like, if I pass out, call 911. And I was okay. And I did it a couple more times like that throughout the course of being sick. And I had started running a fever that day, but my fever was only ever, it was just 100. I would take a Tylenol. And so it just stayed at 100, never got above that. Had body aches for like one day. And then after having fever for a day or two is when I lost my taste and smell. And since getting better from everything else, that still has not returned.
What was the protocol? What was the procedure for you to try and recover or get better aside from just do nothing?
Yeah. I called my doctor to see if I could get a test. They say, no, they don't have any tests. I call urgent care. No, they don't have any tests. I call the CDC. They tell me to call my doctor. Oh, yeah, I already did that. Something online said if I went and stood in line at the health department that I might be able to get a test. And I was like, I also had like a severe anxiety attack one day while I was sick. Right. And when you have an anxiety attack, you can't breathe. And I had just read an article saying that the breathing, when it gets out of hand with COVID, it'll come up really quickly on you, and you may not even have a chance to get to the hospital. And so I was like, the anxiety attack only lasted 10 minutes, but it was a really intense, terrible 10 minutes. I just basically slept a lot and tried to drink a lot of water, and I took Tylenol and sat in the sun, and I slept a lot. I was really, really, really tired. That was one of the major, I slept for like 3 days.
And how did that work with you and Kevin? Like, how's he doing? Is he feeling okay? He's not showing any signs or?
Yeah, he hasn't had any symptoms.
Did you guys stay apart from each other as best you could?
He normally, like, his bedroom is downstairs and mine is upstairs. And when I was sick and I was sleeping, I was like in my room the whole time. Mm. So he's been okay. He hasn't had any symptoms, so.
And the guys that you were hanging out with prior to this, have you been in touch with them to be like, hey, are you guys doing okay?
Yeah, they're fine too.
Well, cool. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
That must have been scary as shit.
Yeah, it was scary.
It also makes you think about what we do as actors and artists. For me, it kind of points out the almost trivialness of what we do. It's like, because I'm going to qualify that, of course, because it's not like I'm going like, oh, we've wasted our lives. No. But when you look at the current situation of the people who are truly making a difference in, you know, helping to have us get through this and solve this and resolve it and take care of everybody, it's like, Jesus, what the hell are we contributing? No, right. And the flip side is absolutely as true and as valid.
I'll let you take it. I had the opposite because I often think that before all this happened of how what we do doesn't matter. And now I see it in the opposite realization that you had, and that what we do matters so much more, because that's all anybody is doing right now is watching TV and films. And think about what their mental state would be if they didn't have that entertainment.
Right. Or for those people who are taking, who are writing again, or learning to play an instrument, or painting. And I've certainly like seen both sides where it's like, we're making a huge contribution.
See, I struggle with the thought of the triviality of what we do on a day-to-day basis for the past 10 plus years.
Well, you know, when you think about the circus life, the sort of, you know, bohemian vagabond lifestyle that we choose to live most of the time. And then when something like this happens, we're like, oh no, we're screwed. We need help.
Yeah.
and like the responsible parent in my head is like, well, if you had gotten a real job.
Right. My real parents are also in my head saying these things.
I know that these are strange circumstances. I know that that was kind of the whole point. You know, it's good to see your face. I'm glad you're doing well. Hopefully we will get to the other side of this as quickly and as safely as possible.
It's a real thing. It's a real fear.
It is a real thing. Hashtag stay at home. This has been Haley Lovett revisiting us again on You May Have Seen.
Hi.
Haley Lovett, thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing your story with me. This is kind of a bummer. I have no one to download and process these stories with. I got no sidekick. No co-host. Just me in a box. Okay, let's take a short break. Here's a brief message on behalf of the CDC and the Queen City Podcast Network.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You're listening to You May Have Seen, proud member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. There are so many great podcasts on the network, and they're adding new ones all the time, showcasing great stories by great people and shining a spotlight on the Queen City. You can find them all at queencitypodcastnetwork.com. I want to give a shout out to all of our frontline workers who are risking their lives and making the hard decisions in order to make this crisis better for everyone. I can't thank you enough for all you do. I also want to give a quick shout out to the Comedy Arts Theater of Charlotte. You're going to hear a little more about them in our last segment. These folks do amazing work and make such an impact on the community, both in the professional business world as well as the artistic and acting world. They're working hard to keep things going right now, and they could certainly use our help. Please go to their website at catch.theater. That's catch.theater. If you can help support in any way, it would be a great thing. So let's get into our last segment with my good friend and comedian, Jason Alan King.
So what's happening?
Not much, man. Not much at all. I'm kind of, you know, like everybody else, trying to navigate this funny little world that we find ourselves in, which feels like it happened overnight, where it's like, oh, the apocalypse is a little different than I thought it was going to be.
It's a little better. It's not as bad.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking apocalypse, I was like, wow, okay. I'm doing okay. I still got toilet paper.
There could be...
Right.
It's not so much Mad Max as much as it is slightly inconvenienced Max.
It's a little inconvenient.
And
didn't it literally happen overnight? It pretty much happened overnight.
Sure feels like it.
How could you see it coming? It can only happen overnight. I don't think it can happen weeks in advance. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen. We'd be like, oh no,
I feel like
they're stopping you at the door.
Yeah, I feel like there should have been these moments of like something big,
right?
And then everyone goes, "What was that?" Something big happens again. Everyone's like, "We gotta take cover now."
Right.
None of that happened.
Right. Like, right. What was like, that noise?
People are gonna get sick if we don't just go home for a while. And everyone was like, "Do we still pay attention to them, the old people? Do we do that?" Everyone's like, "We probably should."
How much corona material have you written so far? Or is it too soon?
You know what's funny is that I am avoiding that.
Because you know it's going to be...
Everyone's doing it. There's
right.
so many people who are just chiming in. And I don't just mean comics. I mean literally every human is like, I mean, who wears bands anymore? It's like, was like, oh, that was my mom. My mom said that. Golly. And it's the same joke. It's the same 8 jokes. Nobody's crushing it. Nobody's got the beat on Corona material. You know?
What would be the fresh take? What would be the fresh take?
I mean, it's going to be someone who's just like, yeah, people have been staying home because I've been going out every day. Corona is just... Corona is other people's kryptonite. For me, it's like...
It's been crazy. There's been no lines anywhere.
Carowinds is open. Yeah. People don't know. Carowinds is open. I've got vertigo for how many times I've ridden these roller coasters down.
There you go.
That's a fresh take.
Oh, my God. So, first of all, for everybody listening, we're revisiting with Jason Alan King again. He's come back to visit us during this this ridiculous and frustrating and insane time. How much do you hate this? How much do you hate this virus? How much are you hating this situation? Or are you not? Are you like, it's all right? I mean, from an artistic standpoint, let's take it that way. As a comedian, as a production guy, as an actor, how much are you hating this? How much is it fucking you?
I tell you what, day to day, our mood and tone changes. Oh, we are drinking, right? We are doing that. Should we talk about that?
Okay. I mean, I know you went to the gym. You got your beef on. Did you go to the gym? You said you were coming back from a workout. Where were you working out?
Oh, just like out running and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Just out in the world.
I gotcha. Yeah. Climbing trees.
Stuff and like at the back.
Throwing rocks.
Yeah.
Pushing kids.
People, this is the apocalypse workout. That's what I do. This is not who's lifting weights anymore. I'm out there pulling logs and stuff. I'm working out like Rocky from Rocky IV. You know what I mean? That's how you have to do it.
Yep, chains and pulleys. You were saying. This is terrible. Continue.
Right. Well, I'm drinking too. I've got the full spectrum, by the way. It's White Claw.
Oh, there you go.
And also Cuervo.
Oh my God.
So I
you're hardcore. You're two-fisting it.
I would say I go day to day, but overall, here's how I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. With the way my schedule has been with between film and comedy, is I have a lot of days off. So there is some degree of schedule that I keep that's somewhat like this anyway. I will say that I have been staying busy. I've had the I have something to keep me busy. Like, to me, people are probably focusing on whatever their hobbies and whatever they enjoy doing, and that's only gonna last so long. I think I have a little bit of a luxury, and probably not the right word, but having something that I can still kind of work on a craft a little bit to some degree, and that hasn't slowed up. I have to at least give myself a little bit of a pat on the back for staying motivated. I have stayed motivated. And like you mentioned, like working out, I've sort of taken advantage of the time in that way too, that I've been consistently working out and trying to stay that way. I can't make any promise how long this is going to last. I definitely want my neighbors to know that I think I'm better than them. That's so they're like, Jason, getting running.
Yeah. Yep. Man. Yeah. He doesn't wear his shirt very much anymore. It's a lot of no shirt for Jason King.
I'm glad it's warmed up. It was cold.
Now, did you lose a lot of dates? Were you booked for a bunch of stuff and go away? Well, yeah.
It did. So my last weekend, and I can't remember exactly what it was, right before they said shut it down kind of thing. I was in Oregon. I was in Oregon for 4 shows, and it was over like a 4 or 5 day period. So I had a little bit of time, and it was like one of the best road trips that I've ever had in comedy.
Oh, man.
By the time I got to the airport on the last day, it was masks. Half the people were gone.
Really?
Half the flight people were gone off the flights. I was like, oof, man, did I just cut it too close? What happened here? Because I had, you know, there were some people in my life who said, you know, you may want to look into maybe not doing this. And, you know, that's been several weeks. So I guess I would say I would sort of dodged a bullet a little bit maybe. But all that to get to the answer to the question, that is, while I was out there, mm-hmm. pretty much all of my work went away. I had a commercial that I'd already worked about 2 weeks on that said we're pulling up stakes. And I had, at least half a dozen shows that all the way into August that were like, we're worst until further notice. These are gone.
And so, there's no new bookings for later on in the year that people are going, we're feeling pretty safe that by we'll try.
I would say, I've been in communication with the folks who left. It was an OnStar commercial that they have been, they're still talking to me and saying, hey, the minute we can, we're going to come back. So they haven't given up hope. So that's a good thing.
But but the comedy clubs have just stopped and they're not booking anything for any future dates right now.
No. And I think comedy clubs, I don't think are the best business model right now. There's been a big change in that. People are more interested in going to their local brewery than they are going out to a comedy clubs for that specifically. And I think that trend is going to hurt. We're going to see a lot of clubs closed, I'm afraid.
Oh, man, that sucks. God, that sucks.
It does. It does, because it's not like they were picked to disappear. I mean, they were right. Slowly, like, some of them were making changes to change with the times, and some weren't. But this is such a unique situation that the ones that were on any sort of loose footing are going to disappear.
So how are you... just to be blunt, how are you surviving now?
It's a great question. I had to do the unemployment. I signed up with unemployment. I will do a small business loan as well. Okay. I'm still looking into where I'll be able to fit in there. Hopefully I can. I'm probably a little late to the game with that, but I'm not, in another month, I'm going to be scratching my head going, I need to figure something else out here. But I've talked to, at least one business where I'm like, can I get a little part-time work? Maybe I'm looking into that.
Right.
I'm a resourceful person.
And sure you are.
So I think I'll be okay in that respect, keep my head above water. And luckily, I'm going to cross my fingers saying this and knock on wood, the film business has tended to be recession-proof to some degree. 2008, 2010, I was working as much as I ever had. It really didn't slow down for me in that respect. So I'm kind of holding my breath that they will come back, strong.
We got to be optimistic for that for sure, if for no other reason than people are going to want entertainment still, after living through this, surviving this, managing their way through this, you got to think that they're going to want more.
Well, and I've been reading some articles about some organizations, call it CBS or whatever,
right,
who are saying, we need this to stop soon so that we can get more made.
Yeah.
I think they're not going to be short on cash. Netflix isn't going to be short on cash right now. They're going to be short on content. So I do, unless something else bizarre happens, which shit, very possible. I do think that there's going to be a big influx of work now, hopefully, because I think it's going to be different than live events. I still think live venues are going to struggle because I don't think floodgates are going to open and everyone's going to want to go sit in a room with 300 people. I'm not quite sure that's going to be the case. There was a meme going around that said, all you introverts, check on your extroverts.
Yeah.
That sort of reverse meme.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to have some extroverts who are like, I want to go sit in a place with people.
Oh,
I don't necessarily have to chat them up, but I want to be, because I kind of think that's how I am, honestly. Yeah. As weird as it sounds, because I want to be the first one to make fun of somebody and bust balls and like do all that kind of stuff. But, I definitely like to be out in the middle of it.
I was saying to Colleen last weekend, I was like, remember restaurants? Remember coffee shops? Man. That sure was something, wasn't it?
Good
now, times. Now, while all of this is legitimate for each individual person having their own struggles and frustrations, how much of a bitch are we? Because, like, how good do we have it in comparison?
Oh, I know. This first world problem of having to stay home with all of the luxuries that I've surrounded myself with, I'm like a king. That's how I feel. I'm a king right now. They're like, oh my God, do you have to stay home with everything that's wonderful that you've chosen specifically?
We are horrible human beings.
Oh my God.
We're fucking horrible human beings.
I can't remember who I was talking to. Someone was talking about people in an African country that I can't remember specifically, where apparently this is going to be a really bad locust season. So this huge portion of this country, these very, you know, poor people have to decide stay in their homes,
right,
and do social distancing, and then not have crops to make money or eat and starve to death, or forego social distancing and have to go out there and protect their crops and then make themselves at a higher risk to getting this deadly disease. It's like,
holy fuck.
Yeah, there was a minute someone put something where it was like, a cat kept knocking. Jen said it. A cat was knocking this frog. Look at this video. This cat just run. I was like, you know, sometimes I feel like the frog. And I was like, oh god, I'm doing okay. I'm not.
You know what? I'm gonna give you a couple seconds to take that back. you are not the frog.
definitely not the frog. I'm always the cat.
You're a frog with a fucking frappuccino in his hand. Right. With a latte.
Yeah, sometimes, man, we want to say woe is me, and it's like, yikes, all right, I'll be okay.
Exactly.
I'm not even stuck alone. That's the other thing. I'm not even alone. Like, think about some people who aren't in the – don't have the luxury of being, whether it's near family or have anyone close by or is elderly or whatever. Like,
I've seen posts from friends saying similar things, that they're like, you know, I got nobody. I got nobody, man. Yeah. Like, you know, and I don't know if you've gone through any aspect of that, you know, whole self-wrestling, emotionally inner turmoil of just that, of feeling frustrated with the situation, but then seeing what all the people who are, you know, quote unquote, on the front lines are having to deal with. People who are preparing our food, who are supplying us with food, people who are just affected by it, people in other countries who still, to this point, can't fucking leave their house and have lost so much. You know, even with some of these storms that have come through, even locally, friends of mine like, oh, a fucking tree just fell on my house. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. No, yeah. It definitely sort of, I'm a pretty empathetic person, but I'm also, I even think we talked about this the last time I was on here, that I won the lottery. I got, as I knock on wood, I got brothers and a sister and my folks live, they all except for one live here in town. And my brother lives up in Pennsylvania, has a great family, and his kids are close by, and my niece and her daughters are close by. So they've got their sort of group where they're staying in touch as much as they can. But we're close by. If things go south for whatever reason, we're here. So my heart goes out to people who are in the middle of, you know, these hospital workers coming home and not being able to see their kids and like holding them off or seeing them through the windows and stuff. Man, that perspective of seeing that is heartbreaking and also fills you with pride and this is wonderful. These people are around us, and it's pretty inspiring to see that.
Talk to me about Ketch. Talk to me about Ketch.
Oh yes, yeah. Oh man, I love the Comedy Arts Theater of Charlotte. I've got sort of two camps, I would say, in my world, in my professional world, which is very much part of my social world as well, is the Comedy Zone and Ketch. Comedy Zone. It's obviously where I got into comedy and doing stand-up. So they've been running their show on Saturday nights, and that's in support of staff and comedians and stuff. That's a fundraiser they do. And then Catch doesn't quite have the same – they're not as big a club. They haven't been around as long. They're a smaller group owned by these two great people. That's where I started doing improv, and I'm such an infant in that world. I won't call myself an improviser, but it's a wonderful – small theater that is kind of like the comedy clubs I was talking about, that I'm just afraid for them, and they need help to keep their doors open. Their bills haven't gotten any smaller. They just aren't allowed to be open. And their impact on people has been just everyone who goes there and does anything, whether they go as an audience member to watch shows or take classes. They're just – it's just what you did as well.
Yeah, I've done that. Those guys are great.
They're great. And if I can take any, and not that I have the largest social media following or anything, but if I can get anyone to know that they're around and they need someone to buy a shirt to help pay the bills, man, give them $20, give them $15 for a shirt. They need the help more than a lot of people. This is the kind of small business that's being affected by this stuff, and it's a live venue. And I can't say enough good things about literally what they do for every person who walks through the door, and they're just open arms to everybody, and their impact is so big on the individual. Like if you go and see some of the not reviews, but people who talk about, you know, their Yelps and all these things to talk about it, and a part of it, it's bring a tear to your eye. They're changing people's lives and they're changing their people, how they work and how they do with their jobs. And
right.
That's what improv and their style and their approach to improv and is really, really profound on people's lives.
That's pretty amazing. How has this been affecting Jen as a result?
I feel bad for her putting up with me half the time. That's the biggest hardship right now. She's like, he's around all the time now? This is all the time? I do give her a break, though, because I'm home now. I give her, like, work hours for the most part. I'm like, I'll run home. Yeah.
That's a lot. I mean, you guys are still new. You're still new in the adventure. So it's got to be creating its own new challenges or...
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would say that goes for a lot of people, right? There's some, we're going to see a lot of babies in 9 months and a lot of divorce and a lot of divorce and breakups and shit. People are going to be like, you know what? I love them, but I don't like them very much. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
A lot of babies from parents who say, yeah, that's the one time we did it. Cause then after that, we were sick of each other. That was the one time we did it.
We did it one time during the pandemic.
That's sad. In the first 2 weeks, all in that same first 2 week period. What is the Comedy Zone doing? You said they do a show still every week?
Yeah, so they do they're calling it 15 Minute Funnies, and I want to say the show is it's about an hour. I don't think there's like a set time on it. So they're taking three, four, five comics each week, and they're asking them to put together 15 minutes of something. So they just put together 15 minutes worth of their own sort of content. And then Brian Baltashevitz with the Queen City Podcast Network is kind of cutting all those things together to basically broadcast it.
Yeah.
And that's they've been showing my all over the place, my show, which is only like, they're like 4, 5, 6 minutes depending on the episode or whatever. Right. So.
Are you still doing the Comedy Zone podcast in the interim? Are you still doing it on a weekly basis?
Yep. Yeah, they go out on Thursdays, and between Will Jacobs, who's the other host, and Brian, we've been doing. Yeah, it's been interesting. We're covering some comedy, covering what's everybody doing. And,
sure. So, anything new coming out of this for you? Any new creative endeavors or whatever?
Well, two things. One, this little show that I've been cutting together, this stuff has been a year in the making. In fact, the first one that I did, so I'm calling it all over the place with Jason Allen King. I gotta give Jen Altizer the kudos for coming up with that name, because I was like, I don't have a name. I had like these really dumb names, and we got to talking about it, and she landed on a really good one. She's got a knack for naming things like that. Yeah, so basically the idea is, over the past year, I would go to various cities, small towns, big towns, whatever. I would record myself on the way there, driving. I would get to the town and say, let's just go walk around this place and see what's interesting. I'm someone from out of town, never been here before. Let's just get first impressions as I go around and just meet some people and whatever. It is, it's been a kind of a blast to do it. It's a little embarrassing. I'm getting better as I went on. I start to get better at it because, you know, I don't have a crew of people there and writers and you know, all that. I'm just sort of, I dumb things like, oh my God, look at that building over there. That's a nice building. As dumb as that. I'm like, it's just baby's day out, just walking around. Yep. Going, you know, I'm just kind of a dope and I find interesting things to me, and whether or not people find it interesting, I don't give a shit. And it's, you know, I try to make jokes, come up with fake facts and, you know.
And people can find this on your website and or on where?
Yeah, so the website's jasonallenking.com. They're not all up there yet, by the way. But I am putting them on Facebook, and YouTube, and a link to YouTube as well, which is Jason Allen King on there. So,
all right, so now I'm really going to put you on the spot. So what's your contribution to the world during this time?
I'm here. I think you have to, this is the politician to me. I think it's important to really affect the people closest to you. You know, the smaller your community, that's how you can, I'm not contributing at all. In any way. All I'm doing is eating the food. If this was a real pandemic, people would be like, get rid of him first.
We're out of Pringles.
He's only consuming. He is not producing anything. I can't fix things. People are like a fix it guy. I can fix a button, maybe a salad. That's what I fix. I can't fix cars.
I love that. A button or a salad.
That's the most I can help. Like, what? Go fix things.
Do you want a side dish or keep your coat closed?
I can help you fix sentence structure. How's that?
Oh, there you go.
Change a light bulb. There you go. I can't do anything else. Nobody wants me in the apocalypse. You know what I mean? It's happening.
Well, they do, so they can throw you. They can push you in front of the zombies first.
That's right. I am perfect bait. I'll be the character everyone loves. They'll love me. I'll be great. And then I'll be like, it's time. Once we start whittling down the tribe here, he's got to go at some point.
Well, man, I really appreciate you checking in and, you know, hanging out for a little while and catching me up on what you've been doing. Because if nothing else, fortunately but unfortunately, it's like it sucks that it takes something this horrific for me to be like, oh, I need to think about everybody who's important to me that I care about. Just to see you and just catch up and just make sure that you're doing well and staying safe and hanging in there, because it certainly has made, everybody has made my brain race all over the place. Like, how are they doing? How are they doing? How are they doing? How's everybody doing?
Hey, listen, I appreciate you reaching out, man. And this is, you know, we all look for silver linings, and I've talked with family more than I normally do. I've spoken with friends from school that I haven't talked to in a long time. And the emotions run a little higher now. And I think that's probably a good thing. So, listen, I care about you. I love you, buddy. And I hope you guys stay well, stay home and safe. And that goes to everybody out there.
I love you too, man. This has been Jason Allen King revisiting and reaching out with us here on You May Have Seen. Thanks so much for listening.
I want to thank Keith Harris, Haley Lovett, and Jason Allen King for joining me for this episode. We got more to come in the weeks ahead. Thank you so much for listening. Drop us a note. Drop me a note. It's no us, it's me. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to know how you're doing. We'll be back soon.